Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I mean? I think he's taken all the reps. I mean, most of the reps, I think he's continued to get into better condition. And we'll see how he responds from today, from the speed work today. And then we'll go and make a decision that, you know, is best for him and best for the football team.
Fair to say you're playing this Sunday?
I'm excited.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, a meeting of the Boston sports worlds. It's a Patriots Friday, and we are at Fenway Park, brought to you by Ford in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, your New England Ford dealers in the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. That was Mike Vrabel talking about Christian Gonzalez. And Christian Gonzalez earlier in the week definitely insinuating, and maybe more so, that he's going to be returning to the field this week. I will say, speaking of returning to the field, Tet McMillan returned to the practice field yesterday. So that would be, Fitzy, a fun matchup of a young all-pro corner and a young wide receiver that I know some Patriots fans had their eyes on, who is, at least early in his career, showing he might be a pretty good receiver down there.
Yeah, how about that? A wide receiver one. Must be nice, huh?
Harrison can't catch. Interception machine.
Yeah, but he redeemed himself last night. He was good in the second
sort
half.
Of.
He had five catches and a touchdown, helped them tie the game. Oh,
still
by the way,
minus one. There were two interceptions and one touchdown. That's minus one in my math book.
Nice kick, Ryland, with 30 seconds left. Try to land it in the drop zone. Anyway, Tet McMillan versus Christian Gonzalez. If both of them are a wee bit limited, regardless, would be a nice matchup this weekend. That's one of about, I don't know, maybe two things the Carolina Panthers offense has going for them. The other one just being, I don't know, YOLO, dumb luck. Like, there's really not much that they've been able to do. Like last week, they win 30-0, but it's mostly because their defense was excellent and the Falcons were just absolutely abysmal.
And as Mike McDaniel says, before you can win the game, you have to not lose the game, as he put in such an eloquent fashion after the Patriots game. Ted Johnson, before we get to the phone calls, I did a little research. So the knuckleball kickoff for the Panthers,
yeah,
that has allowed them to average, other teams have a 16-yard kickoff return average. The rest of the NFL is averaging 25+, so it's almost a 10-yard difference because of their little knuckleball.
Massive.
Thing.
That is huge.
It's weird.
Have you seen videos of it?
No.
I looked at videos.
Oh, it's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
It's
how does he get
really
it to do
cool.
it?
You got me.
He doesn't turn it sideways, does he?
See, the film, I couldn't see how the ball was placed.
Yep.
You just see him, the back of him kicking it, and it's just, it's a trip, man.
I'm a little worried about it. You know, like, this is a team, the Patriots, that's been making some mistakes, some ball security issues, some things of that nature, and all of a sudden you got this guy with this, you know, Bugs Bunny knuckleball kick thing that Antonio Gibson's going to be, like, shaking back there. We all saw the Red Sox. Remember when Doug Mirabelli was gone and they couldn't catch the knuckleball and they had to bring Doug Mirabelli back by freaking escort from the state police? That knuckleballs can do weird things to people, man. So, Antonio Gibson, you better know what you're doing. And I don't even, how do you practice it? If you don't have a guy that can kick a knuckleball, how do you practice returning knuckleball kicks? The jugs machine have a knuckleball setting?
Yeah, I would think you would try to simulate it somehow, some way. Maybe you don't kick it, you throw a knuckleball.
I'm going to your guy, Pepper Johnson, your coach used to be great.
He was amazing.
He threw the best knuckle football I've ever seen.
Pepper, we used to, after every practice,
he did. Damn ball, I don't know what you're laughing.
Did you ever see what we did after every Friday practice? You guys weren't there.
No, we weren't there at the end of practice.
They didn't allow you guys
No.
Access.
They barely allowed us anything.
Did you get pizza on Friday?
No. Once Tom Ashworth brought me a slice because he's the nicest player that ever played there.
Because he's a Colorado Buff, baby. That's how we roll.
He's the nicest Colorado Buff because he brought me pizza.
I'm the second nicest.
You're the second because you never brought me pizza.
But Pepper had the strongest arm, and we'd have this drill game where he would basically the first person to drop a pass would had to get out, and I usually was the first person to drop the pass.
But that pinky over there, was that from one of the knuckleballs?
It was the hardest ball I've ever had to catch with Pepper Johnson. But we digress.
Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Brandon in Boston said that if the Patriots lose on Sunday, firing Mike Vrabel should be on the table. I don't think Tim in Hanover agrees. What's up, Tim?
Guys, I tell you, I've been keeping a positive attitude to him, even though it sounds negative. But the deal is, if whoever thinks that Mike should be fired on Sunday if we lose, they're smoking whacked-out tobacco, buddy, because there's no way in hell we should beat this team. But we're a bottom 10 team, man. We're equal with these other guys. We don't have the talent. It's like Cora. Cora with the Red Sox, he's doing the best he can with that team. And that's how Mike is. Mike, you can only work with what talent you have until you get the better talent. Our offensive line got to protect for our quarterback and open holes for our running backs, man. That's what we need.
Thanks for the call, Tim. I tend to agree. Like, this early in the season, we're not talking about firing Mike Vrabel. Hell, this early in the season last year, we weren't talking about firing Jerod Mayo. And that ended up being a debacle of a season. So it's way too early for any of that crap in places where you have a first-year coach, right? There's a reason the guys that top all those lists, Fitzy, are like Daboll and Callahan and guys that have been in cities for at least a year, if not multiple years. Year one is you kind of setting your culture and establishing who you are. Now, Jerod Mayo thought he was going to get years two and three, and well, he found out differently at the end of the year.
Well, Jerod Mayo was done dirty from Jump Street by not getting any coordinators or basically any people to run any position or personnel departments.
Well, how is he done dirty, though? Wasn't that his job to hire those guys?
No, that was not a Jerod Mayo team in the law. Like, he basically had to entrust Elliot Wolf to hire everybody else. Put it this way.
Because he wasn't ready to go. He should have had his own staff ready to go, and he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
He was getting this job long before he got it, and he was so unprepared that he had to go to Elliot Wolf for help to get all his coaching staff.
Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I don't think he got a lot of organizational support either. I think the second they were able to use him as a scapegoat to admit that last season was an unmitigated disaster and also that Robert Kraft could saw Vrabel's open and knew the optics were bad Jump Street, I think they absolutely scapegoated him.
You got to be kidding me. You're putting all this on the Krafts?
I don't think Jerod
long before he got it. Remember, it was negotiated in Israel. He didn't have a coaching staff ready. He didn't have a philosophy. He didn't have a vision. He was so ill prepared, and that's the Kraft's fault. That's on him, man.
I can't give him 100% of the blame for last year.
I would give him most of the blame.
Well, regardless of what, if you want to split it up 55-45, 60-40, 70-30, whatever, I still believe that he was not done right by the team last year. I don't. I really think that they could, if they knew they were hiring a coach that was greener than the trees in your backyard or the grass on your front lawn, then they should have held his hand and done more to prepare him for a job he was ill-suited to take.
Why would they give a guy a job that he's ill-suited to take in the first place?
I don't know. He wasn't the right guy. That's why they got out from under it immediately.
But you understand, he told them he was the right guy. He convinced them. He bamboozled them. He persuaded them that he was the right guy. So they thought they were hiring the right guy. They didn't think they were hiring the wrong guy when they hired him. That's ridiculous.
Do you think that the Kraft's ownership and the entirety of the Patriots operation thought that Jerod Mayo was completely the right guy? Do you really think that they were snake oil sold his ability?
I hope they thought he was the right guy. Why would you hire him if he didn't think he was the right guy?
Right.
No. Meaning, where they sold a bill of goods by Mayo? Like, did he talk them into it,
I think so.
Well, but some of that's on them, and in that I think when you say, so if I hire you, what's your plan?
How do you envision the offense? Who do you envision running your offense? Who are some guys around the league that you would call to be your offense? Right. Aren't some of those that I've never been in a coaching interview from an ownership perspective, but if I'm the owner, those are the questions I'm asking.
You know what? Jerod Mayo, when he got hired as assistant in 2019, the first day he was there, oh, he's being groomed to be a head coach.
Right.
He's known. Mm-hmm. There was an article planted in the Houston Chronicle talking about him wanting to be a head coach. And then 5 years later, he gets to be the head coach, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's on Jerod. Please give me a break.
What do you mean by planted in the Houston Chronicle? I just wanted to clarify on that. Like there was a story down in Houston about Jerod Mayo, kind of like Houston should be interested in Jerod Mayo. Is that the inclination?
Aaron Wilson.
Interesting. Very, very. Because there was definitely a lot of – I remember he got an interview with, I think, the Eagles when they hired Sirianni.
No, they wouldn't let him. The organization didn't want to – they did. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they denied coordinator interviews because they wanted to keep him in-house. They were so
certain. He got a head coaching interview, I believe, when Nick Sirianni got hired. In that hiring process, he interviewed, I believe, with Howie Roseman and the ownership group down there. And I was like, wow, this is fast-tracking a guy well beyond. But forget that. The bottom line is he wasn't prepared. He was not prepared
Correct.
To take the job.
Definitely not.
And therefore, you're right, his staff had to be mostly Elliot Wolf's staff. Right back till, and you guys may not remember it, I was there at the press conference when he introduced his entire staff, and he said, and who knows, we may have to have another one of these next year. This staff may not be right. There may need to be some changes. And I was like, you haven't held a single practice, and you're already sort of foreshadowing that you're going to be changing or altering your coaching staff, hiring different people. It was a debacle, and this is not a debacle at that level. But I did want to ask you, Ted, something specifically today. When he was talking about Ramondre Stevenson, Mike Vrabel said, well, we're not going to play Josh Dobbs. We're not going to bench the quarterback because he turned the ball over twice, so we're not going to bench Ramondre Stevenson. What are your thoughts on that type of logic and comment?
I'm sorry. I was distracted. Say that again.
So Mike Vrabel, when asked about Ramondre Stevenson, would there be discipline in terms of he said, no, there's not going to be. We're not going to bench the quarterback and play Josh Dobbs because the quarterback turned it over twice.
Gotcha.
We're not going to bench Ramondre Steve. Like, are those the same things, the logic,
It's Mike's is new age, man. He's old school, but he's not coaching stylistically the way he was coached. It's a different style.
Okay.
It's just
– love more than hate kind of thing, or whatever?
It's patience. It's – understanding. It's you could call it coddling, you can call it protecting, but it's a nicer way of leading your team. And I don't, some might say, well, that'll lead to, you know, these guys are gonna be appreciative of your patience with them and they will reward you. That's what he's hoping is, like, right. Look, I'm gonna have your guys' backs, and I'm gonna, you know, when it gets hot and you guys aren't performing, I'm gonna have your back. But you have to prove me right eventually, and that's kind of the hope, the way he coaches, and that's risky.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know.
So he gave a game ball to Andy Borogales, for example, in the locker room. After he missed two PATs, he had a game ball.
Right.
He missed two PATs and missed the landing zone, but in between hit a field goal, and that was game ball worthy. You might be right. He might be. I know John Wooden, the classic UCLA coach, a positive coaching alliance. There's this whole, like, organization built on him, and it's about positive reinforcement. I think it's 9-1. Yep. 9 positive comments for every 1 critical comment, or something like
that. He also said that the players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That was a John Wooden saying as well.
Look at you. Fitzy, you got any John Wooden quotes in you?
I just happened to be day late and a dollar short of my job.
I mean, it you can say all that when you have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as your is your center too, right?
You know, you can say do your job when you have Tom Brady. Everybody else, do your job, because we got Brady. We'll be A-okay if you guys just show up, line up right. 617.
No days off. Do your job. Let's go, Tom.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Rich in the car.
Hi, guys. Now, I agree with one of you guys saying that, you know, Mayo kind of got a dirty deal there. I think he did. They knew he was a first-year coach. Was all this talk about being collaborative and it was going to be a multi-year process. And, you know, he came in thinking he was going to be able to spend money and bring free agents in, and he wasn't, you know, he had to pull that back. He wasn't allowed to do that. So I think it's just very different with Vrabel, because, you know, he's been able to bring in free agents. He's more of an experienced coach, but you know, as of right now, he's not doing that much better than Mayo was. So I definitely think he got a raw deal. He didn't, you know, this it was supposed to be, you know, he has a couple of years to figure this out and get them to a good place. But 1 year, not getting any help, not any free agents. I mean, he was set up to fail from the beginning. He had no shot.
Thanks for the call, Rich.
I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know if he had no shot. He was given a chance, and I think once you realize how bad it is, what's that, like bad money after good or something like that?
You know what? People ask me all the time, Ted, you would, if they offered you a head coaching job, you would take it? No, I wouldn't. Right. If I didn't think I was prepared and ready to do the job, I would not want the job.
Right.
And so I put more blame on Gerard because he should have known what he was getting into, and it was like he had no clue what he was getting into, and he was a coach there on the assistant staff for 5 years before he got the head job. Like, you can't tell me you didn't know what to be ready for.
Right. Yeah. No, he wasn't ready. And there was, it's a little like what I told you, Fitzy, about Matt Patricia. Like, sometimes you just got to say no. Yeah, no, this opportunity not right.
Right.
For
exactly.
Me.
That's it, Andy.
I can't do that. Have some pride, respect for the job. I always said that about Patricia. Have some respect for the job that most offensive coordinators have been coaching offense for 10, 12, 15 years, have worked up from quarterbacks to wide receivers to play calling to this, to that, and you're just going to slide from one side of the ball to the other and think you can do the job as well as those other 31? That's really egotistical. Really egocentric. Really.
Do we think Mayo would have been any better last year if he or the organization gave him better coordinators than DeMarcus Covington and Alex Van Pelt?
You know what? They gave him. He should have brought his own coordinators in. Like, that is on Gerard Mayo. If you don't have coordinators that you have cultivated relationships with in your time being in the NFL, then you cannot blame the coordinators they brought in for him because that should have been his job to get the coordinators. And I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't think Gerard knew what he was getting into. Things I've heard, I
concur with that. So, don't forget, Alex Van Pelt was coordinator 12 on the interview list for offensive coordinators.
Right.
And by the way, Nick Caley, good call not taking him. I don't think Houston scored a touchdown yet. Love
can
you,
I
Nick,
tell you? Yeah, it, do you know what their percentage of red zone touchdowns are this year?
Zero.
They're dead last. Zero. They haven't scored a red zone touchdown all year.
Nailed it. Let's go back to the phone lines with a little game related call. Joe and Melrose. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys. First off, I agree with Fitzy. Gerard Mayo was done dirty last year. If they had drafted. Ladd McConkey and signed a left tackle, he'd still be here. But anyway, I think the key for the Patriots this year is to keep the offense balanced. If they have an effective running game and it allows Drake May to be efficient, like in the Raiders' first half of the game, he was really efficient. In the second half, when they only threw the ball three times, it's like putting the whole game on him, and he feels like as a franchise quarterback, he has to win the game by himself, and that's where the turnovers occur. I mean, they played a really balanced game, balanced run as offense and rushing and passing in the Miami game, and Drake May was outstanding. And then when the Pittsburgh game came and the running backs like turned it, fumbled it three times, it puts him in a situation where he feels like he has to win the game. And when you put that situation on him, that's where the turnovers occur. So as long as the Patriots can have like just an effective running game where they're not fumbling the ball, Drake May is going to be a top 10 quarterback.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Ted Johnson, is that one of the keys this week against a Carolina defense that you should be able to run on?
The key.
The key.
Okay, so you guys ready for
Solamente
this?
Solamente un.
Okay, here we go. We're going to a little football 101.
Well,
you ready?
Go.
So the stat everyone's talking about. Do you know that the Patriots offense has faced the most 7-man boxes of any team in the NFL so
yes.
far through 3 weeks?
Indeed.
Yeah. What does that tell you? If you had to surmise, so 7 guys are in the box and not 8 guys. So theoretically, you should be able to do what better if you're facing 7-man boxes?
Throw the ball.
No, run the ball. It's
yeah,
7
they,
man. You,
right.
you take a guy out of the box, so there's less guys in the box, so it means you run it. When they bring an 8th guy down into the box, that means you're crowding the box, and that's when you start passing. So cover 2, teams are playing them on cover 2, 2 safeties deep.
Yep.
That means there's got to be 7 guys in the box. That's when you run, and they are terrible running in 7-man boxes. So the point is they are the least efficient team in running the football because they can't run it in a look that most teams dominate with just 7 guys. They don't have to bring an eighth guy down to stop the run. That was what made our defenses so good, that we could play cover two, and because we could stop the run with seven. They cannot run the football with seven-man boxes, and that is killing this offense.
You think that's the line, or is that the running backs?
Oh, it's mostly the line.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Go ahead, Andy. No, I was just going to say they only have one wide receiver in the top 50 in terms of receiving yards, a Kayshon Booty with 140. Their receivers aren't winning on the outside either.
Yeah, no, there's – I mean, Ty has been big on that forever. Ty Law, I feel like every time there's a Ty Tuesday on the Greg Hill Show, is talking about how if I were a corner, there's nobody – there's no players I fear running by me, beating me, embarrassing me in the passing game. And that's true.
That was his attitude, yeah.
I
loved it.
But I think even more so with this team, because he looks at – your best receiver is Hunter Henry, correct? Nice player. Is he going to embarrass you? He's going to get his little 12-yard catch, and then you'll tackle him, and you'll live to fight another play. Like, there's nobody going to expose you. Pop Douglas is supposed to be that guy. He's supposed to be a slot guy with playmaking ability. Everybody told me he's – remember that one play that Drake hit to him in practice? There was like a deep over, and it was like he got behind the defense. I haven't really seen that. I haven't seen that at all. And I don't think defenses fear that either. But from the running game perspective, so you haven't been able to run the ball as effectively as you'd like against normal box, normal look, and now your left guard, who everybody loves, Jared Wilson, isn't going to play. You're going to have Ben Brown back out there. And then Mike Onwenu is banged up, and he's missed some practice time at right guard. So I'm not sure the ability to run the ball is going to get any easier, although the Panthers may allow it to be a little easier because they're just not very good stopping the run.
They rank 25th against the run.
But I think we all agree that
the Patriots are 27th in rushing, so they're both basically suck at
it. It's kind of like the road record for the Panthers, the home record. Yep. Like, all these numbers say just crappy football game between two crappy teams, but somebody's going to win. Or maybe you have a little more optimism. Seemed like Mike Giardi had a little more optimism.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Fitzy, so we'll get back into that in a little bit, but we got to talk a little Red Sox baseball as we do many Fridays here on WEEI Afternoons. Our guy Rob Bradford was up in Toronto for the disappointment last night. We'll talk a little Red Sox potential clinch with Rob Bradford next on WEEI Afternoons, but first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.